in number 796. Tunis Palestrina 605. When we pray, or when we sing, or read, or speak, or hear, or do any holy thing, be this our constant care, with a fixed and constant faith, Jesus Christ to keep in you, trusting wholly in his name, in all we ask or do. Hymn number 796.
Thank you. in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to Job chapter 23, verses 10 and 14. Job chapter 23, verses 10 and 14. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. The words on my mind seeking help from God are these, the first three words in verse 10, but he knoweth, and the first three words in verse 14, for he performeth. What unspeakable, solemn comfort and assurance believers have in the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of Almighty God. Sinners taught by the Holy Spirit will be shown their sinfulness, will be shown their helplessness, will be led to feel increasingly the need for God to do all things for them. They need the Almighty One, mighty to save. All power is mine, saith the Lord, in heaven and in earth, able to keep from falling, able to deliver in the time of trouble, able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, able to make all grace abound toward us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And as the apostle could speak with sweet assurance, may it be ours, with the witness of the Spirit, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Able to deliver. What a word that was of the King Darius when early in the morning he went to the den of lions. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Perhaps there's some poor struggling soul here tempted by Satan, plagued with unbelief, in a path so perplexing, under a burden so heavy, a cross so weighty, a thorn so troublesome, a temptation so sore. And is thy God, where is thy God? But, O beloved friend, the Almighty, I say, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And Daniel said, and so will every believer say, my God hath. Yes, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood, his loving kindness, oh how good. But he, the omnipotent one, my times are in thy hand, and to rest in the assurance of this, that he that hangs this earth on nothing holds his people, never will fail them. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The omnipotent one, what he hath promised, he is able also to perform. And then we have his omnipresence. What a comfort this is. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee alway, even unto the end of the world. This God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Yes, that we might more tremble at the omnipresence of our God, to realize, my friend, solemnly true, that he is ever with us and near us, and that we might be kept more tender in the fear of God in our walk and in our conversation and in our life. What a comfort it is for the redeemed. Though, as Job here says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Though his God was hidden, yet he could speak in faith as he does. He knoweth, though I don't know, though I can't understand, though I do not feel him near, but he knoweth. He knoweth, and this is a great comfort. And then the omniscience of God, he knoweth. He sees all within us, knows every thought, motive, imagination of the heart, and that makes or should make us tremble. My friend, do you stand amazed on this anniversary day that you are out of hell? That he has not cut you off, that he has not dealt with you after your sin, nor rewarded you according to your iniquities? Though he sees all our sin, nothing hidden from thee, from him, great God, thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed exactly as I am. And my friend, the word of God says, be sure, your sin will find you out. He knoweth. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. No one else may know the motive in our heart, jealousy, revenge, bitterness of spirit, and kindness and balanced judgment, my friend, but God sees it. And I am assured that there'll be a harvest, and a solemn harvest, if these things and others are found in our heart and in our life. If we deceive others, we shall be deceived. If we are unkind to others, we shall receive unkindness. I had not intended to take that line of thought, but I must tarry just for another moment thereon. I do not know whether I've named it here, I have to my people, but you know, we look at that word sometimes and think of the ungodly, and that is true, but what of the godly? Whatsoever a man, if so be he's a righteous man, whatsoever he soweth, that shall he also reap. Just take for a moment, in the little aside here, the case of Jacob. Look at that dreadful deception, the scheming of his mother and the son, and the perfect, as we would say it, as viewed by man, a perfect deception, even to the extent of killing a kid of the goats and taking the skin and covering Jacob's smooth skin to make it hairy as his brother Esau. It may be said that it was the purpose that God would give the blessing to Jacob and not to Esau. That gave no warrant whatsoever for a sinner to act sinfully, that the purposes of God might be wrought out. God will work out his purposes in his own way. And if we walk and act and speak and do anything that is deceitful in the sight of the Almighty One, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, because he knoweth, then, my friend, the harvest will be solemn. Yes, I know it is with the righteous well. I know that there will be no separation from his love. But, my friend, there can be separation from the enjoyment of that love by grieving the Spirit. He knoweth. Look at Jacob. Look how he was deceived at that night when the next morning it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. He reaped what he'd sown. Look later on as those sons of his come with mournful countenances and a coat of many colours stained with blood. What did those brethren use? A kid of the goat. Solemn, isn't it? We know that with Jacob it was well, but look at the sorrows throughout his life. Look at David. Did he commit adultery? Is he not guilty of blood guiltiness? I believe I'm right in saying the first letter written that is spoken of in the Bible was by David. And we would think it would be a letter of spiritual counsel. It was a letter of murder. It was a letter, put that man in the front that he's slain in the battle so that he could take the woman to wife. But what David had done, as later in numbering the people, displeased the Lord. He knoweth. There's a solemn aspect of this word, isn't there? And look how David reaped such a harvest. Look at the rebellion of Absalom. And look at the sword that was in his house to the end of the days. Oh yes, it was well with dear David. Oh yes, it was, but oh, the sorrows of the latter years of his life. He knoweth. Oh, friend, if we had this deeply impressed upon our spirit, if we were conscious of the Lord standing right by us, would not that affect our spirit, our conversation, our company, our dealings one with another? But he knoweth. But here is unspeakable comfort. I sometimes find it very hard to express in words what I believe the Lord has shown me and brought a little sweet meditation and blessing in my own soul. But in journeying here this afternoon, my mind somewhat rested, was comforted and established and confirmed on the greatness of our God, omnipotent, omnipresent and omniscient. And if I can speak as I may, as a very unworthy pastor with a beloved people. Now, as their pastor, I may know the sorrows that they have, the trials through which they pass. I trust the Lord will ever give me a sympathetic heart and a patient spirit. And I know that it may well be a comfort when one can speak and say, yes, I am praying for you. But the knowledge of the pastor will be very limited. Let me just explain in this way. Now, say one in the church or congregation is bereaved of a beloved partner in life. Well, I'm acquainted with the circumstance. My heart is filled with sympathy, but I've not, through God's mercy, walked that path. But one, Jesus, knows all through which we pass. And then again, our God is omnipresent. Now, I cannot be with my people all the time. If I could be with them, then I would so often have no power whatsoever to help them. Forgive the weakness of this illustration. When we think of God, nothing too hard for him. No problem too great. No mountain too high. No way too rough. No path too perplexing. And my friend, able to perform what he's promised, able to strengthen, support, bear you up and bring you right through. And then think of this, that whilst one may say as a pastor or a parent may say to the child, I know, but even our knowledge is then limited, but the Lord knows all through which his dear people are passing, those struggles, those trials, those temptations, those disappointments, those heartbreaks, much more. He knows it all. And then, my friend, as we've just hinted, he's ever present with his people. We do not always feel it. But, my friend, we rest so much on our feelings, may we be given more faith. Faith to lay hold and believe what God has spoken, even if we do not feel that comfort or his presence near us. My friend, he will never fail us. He faileth not. I am rather fond of a simple illustration. I've used it many times. Some doubtless have heard it before. But many years ago in Canada, in the backwoods, there was a father and mother and the boy, and the time came for boy to go to school. The journey was through a wooded part, dangerous because of bears. But father said, "No, there's no need for anxiety or worry. I will go with you. I will meet you." And so it was. Until later, father said, "Now you are older, and we think you may go on your own." And so it was. And the lad went on his own, and on one of his journeys through the woods, suddenly was confronted with one of these terrible, fierce bears, paralyzed with fear. And suddenly a shot rang out, and the bear was dead. And from the shadows of the wood emerged his father. "My boy, didst thou think that I should leave thee alone? Though thou didst not see me, I was there." Now, that has its limitations. Father, though then helped, might have failed. But our Heavenly Father never fails, friend. The Father might have forgotten, but our Father in Heaven, he never forgets. And this is our comfort. We sleep, but the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy. And he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Isn't it a comfort sometimes when you go to sleep at night to think that the great God is watching over you? Isn't that a comfort to you when you're lonely sometimes to think, yes, God sees me? When you're in the depths of those sorrows that he knows, and my friend, that human heart he still retains, though thrown in highest bliss, he feels each member's pains, doesn't he, for their afflictions his. And when we read at the graveside of Lazarus, Jesus wept, I know that's profound. And we speak with deepest reverence the ingredient of those tears. I know that it might well be, and doubtless was in measure, at the unbelief and the power of sin and the grief and the awful evil brought through by sin in this world. But, my friend, surely there were also tears of love, tears that were filled with compassion toward the weeping ones. He knoweth the way that I take. Oft you do not know, I do not know, I cannot understand. Lord, is this the way? Is this the path? Is this the cup? Must I walk this path? Must I bear this cross? Must I endure such temptations as these? Must I pass through such a dark path as this? Must I be so persecuted as I am? Whatever your path is, but he knoweth the way that I take. But let's just look at that way that we take. Is God in it? Is God in it? Do we have to pray over our way? Do we have to ask God to order our steps? Or do we, and you know we can be very prone to do this, map out our path, see the way just in front of us and decide to go forward and then ask God to bless it? Friend, that's the wrong way round, isn't it? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, appear for me. Direct me in my steps. Lead me not to the path of my choice. Choose thou the way and still lead on, nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. If I have now found grace in thy sight, and that was not the if of doubt, it was as I have. Moses was assured of it. But show me now thy way, that I may know thee and find grace in thy sight. Lord, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure, in thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. But he knoweth the way that I take. It may seem all contrary, often is, to the path of faith. The path of faith may lead to the contrary wind and the stormy night and the tossed waves and the tempest stricken lake and the fearing disciples. But he knoweth. He saw them toiling in rowing. My friend, he knows. He loves. He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. God gives the very best of those who leave the choice to him. Joseph, what would you say? Oh, what a path it was after those dreams. Oh, first the hatred and envy of his brethren. What a dreadful thing is envy and jealousy. It's cruel as the grave, and we've got it in our hearts, and we need to pray strongly that it never may root there. And remember, my friend, the look of hatred is as murder in the sight of the Almighty. But I say, Joseph, in the pit, treated like that by his brethren, sold, but a secret. God was with him. He knoweth the way that I take. And then, tempted in youthful lusts, and day after day, until a time came when it was ripe for the man to fall into sin and temptation, but the fear of the Lord helped him, held him, and kept him. But it was the prison. But you know, he wasn't alone there. The Lord was with him. Now, I'm not saying that the path was easy. My friend, there's too much easygoing religion today. Not that we're to pray for trouble, but real Holy Ghost religion will be tried in the fire. The narrow way that leads to glory, the promise that God may give, may oft be tried and tested and tempted. Precious faith is going to be tried, going to pass through the fire, you know. But my friend, until the time came that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But you see, he knoweth. And even when he was forgotten by the butler, never forgotten by God. And look at the wonderful purposes of God, that they made the man run out of the prison. Made haste, you'll find the margins in, made him run. And next to the king. But still the promise wasn't performed. But look at the way. Who are these coming down to buy corn? Who are these that are bowing down before Joseph? God's word is fulfilled, friend. He knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. And my friend, there are no better hands to be in. You may find and prove sometimes it's more than your flesh can bear, but he'll give you grace. He'll support you in the fire. He'll give you sweet tokens of his love. You see that now no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. As I came down your beautiful Kent, our beautiful Kent, I was going to say, because I'm a man of Kent too, and saw the fruit trees, I thought, yes, they've been pruned. They've been cut back. But why? It's for more fruit. It's that they might yield a bountiful fruit. My friend, he knoweth. Now, a man might not be severe enough in pruning, or too severe. But you see, we're not in the hand of man. We're in the hand of our God. And he knows. He knoweth the way that I take. Knows just what is needful to crucify this flesh of mine, to humble this proud spirit, to keep me dependent upon Christ, to keep one humble in their path. My friend, more grace is needed. Sometimes we rebel. Sometimes we kick. Sometimes we murmur. Sometimes we feel we can go on in our own strength, but the Lord will soon bring us to that place when we have to look to him. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath dried me, I shall come forth. Yes, you won't be destroyed in that fire. You're going to leave a lot of rubbish behind. You're going to leave a lot of ashes behind, but never will faith be reduced to ashes. Never will the work of his grace suffer. My friend, is it not said that the refiner of silver will not rest until he sees the reflection of himself in the silver? And you know, isn't this an answer to our prayers? And coming down in speaking, dear friend, was speaking, you know, sometimes we almost tremble to pray that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, what will it be needful to answer that prayer of mine? And flesh shrinks from it, but the spirit is made willing. Lord, help me to pray it. Lord, bring this blessing into my soul. Bring me into that place, though it is through the fire and the furnace, where I can say, I know, like dear Job, that my Redeemer liveth, that I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He knoweth the way. My friend, what a comfort this is. And he performeth. And this is, you see, we might know, as I have hinted, the path, but be absolutely unable to do a thing. I say to do a thing. I hope we pray if we cannot help. Leo friend once said to me about church meetings, he said, you know, I get so perplexed, I get so confused sometimes, I don't know what to do. But he said, she said, I try and pray. But that's it. Pray, friend. But I say, here's our God that knows, and here's our God that performs. And this God leads. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. He said, I'll make rough places plain, crooked paths straight, and so forth. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Even there shall thy hand lead me. And what some theirs you've had in this past year, in your past life. Sad spots, tinged sometimes with the greatest blessing of your life, deepest sorrows and the heavenly joy, the presence of thy Lord in the fire, and the assurance of his love. And yet, you shrank from the cup so bitter. You sought that the Lord would take that thorn in the flesh away. But he's given you grace sufficient, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. He knoweth. He performeth. And you see, friend, as we grow older, we seem to need the Lord more than ever. We seem to be cast upon him more than ever. We need him to do all things for us, and he performeth. And I love these two words, because look at it ever so simply. It's got E-T-H at the end of both of them. And so that means every moment. He knoweth and he performeth. Every moment of our life. There's not a moment but our God does not know. Not a moment but that he is performing for us. Like that word, my help cometh. Beautiful, isn't it? Flowing constantly from the Lord which made heaven and earth. To that poor thing down there that says, Lord, help me. And whilst you may not receive at once the deliverance that you seek for, it may even be that the burden may be doubled. It may be even that the furnace is heated seven times hotter than it's wont to be heated. It may even be that the valley is darker than ever and the way is narrower than ever. And it may be that there are greater mountains in front of you. But he performeth, thy God. And it's to teach us to be as that one in the song, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. He knoweth, he performeth. Oh, friend, how oft we are filled with fear. Lord, when the fire has done its work, will there be anything left? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, at the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it might be what? Destroyed? Lost? Gone? Might be found. That's it. I can never describe what a blessing that word was to me once. Found. It's not gone. Your God hasn't gone. He's still faithful. He'll perform the word. Everything else may go. But never what God has wrought that is indestructible. And my friend Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. He knoweth, he performeth. Then there is this. You know, I believe it was in Daily Light recently, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we're dust. You know, it's very wonderful. And this just comes rather sweetly to my mind. Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. That's amazing, isn't it? Deity, the eternal Son of God, sinless humanity, sinless infirmity, weary. He knoweth. Elijah under the juniper tree. Elijah, rise and eat, the journey is too great. And I love that second touch, don't you? Oh, what does revive you, dear friend? When the Lord gives you a word, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? When the Lord gives you a glimpse of himself, nothing else will do it, will it? And what a comfort that is to my soul. Lord, thou knowest that nothing but what thou dost give and come from thee will do my soul good. A single smile from Jesus given will lift a drooping soul from heaven. A Mary spoken to the weeping woman will turn that sorrow into joy. And when the Lord made himself known to the two on the Emmaus road, they were filled with joy. When the Lord revealed himself to the disciples in the room, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's all the difference, isn't it? And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But he giveth power unto the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. And then your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look, beloved, may faith rest upon this. It may not be financial need that you have, but some providential need and spiritual bound together. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Such value, dear believer, that Christ laid down his life on that cross, that his precious blood was shed to put away thy sin. So then, all things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He knoweth, he performeth. Out of weakness that we are made strong, and that need is supplied, and that help is given. You may be sorely tempted and tried, but he knows how to deliver out of that temptation. He knows how to silence the enemy of the soul. He prepare a table before you in the presence of his enemies, of your enemies. My friend, he's done it for me once or twice. When the devil's fled, because the Lord's prepared the table. The Lord has blessed the ministry or his word and the ministry to my soul and answered the devil, and my fierce accuser has fled. Oh, friend, he knoweth. And he looks down upon that bruised reed. You may feel to be so bruised by sin, bruised by your sinful self. You know, sometimes by clumsy carelessness we fall over, or we knock ourselves and we bruise ourselves. And we can do that in our path, can't we? Careless and by our own folly. Not taking care, not watching in prayer and walking in faith and in the fear of the Lord. Sometimes you may be bruised by Satan. You may be bruised by the world. I'm going to say this. It's the saddest of all. You may be bruised unkindly by saints. May we never be guilty of that. Faithful, yes. Faithful, yes. But Lord, keep me from being cruel, heartless, unkind, bruised, reed. He'll strengthen it. He'll support it. Smoking flax. There's life. And the spiritual life will never go up because he performeth, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But Lord, warm my cold heart. Bring this smoking flax into a flame of fervent love, warmth, desire, clearer witness in my life, that others may take knowledge of that I've been with Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve. But he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Appointed. It's all in the hands of God. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast, my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Visiting the dear aged deacon and reading with him. Oh mine, I just read some, what I often do, scattered verses as the Lord may direct through the word. One of the scriptures I read was this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. He performeth on the cross this so great salvation, this finished work, this precious blood, this fountain open. And he performeth the work of his grace in a poor sinner's heart to convince that sinner of sin, to draw that convinced sinner to the cross, to that rich gift of faith, where the hand of faith clings to Jesus and the eye of faith looks to him and the feet of faith run to him. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And this is our mercy, that the work of grace begun will be performed. The wheat as it is sown, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. A shock of corn fully ripe, prepared for glory. The stone in the temple of Solomon. There was no noise of chisel or hammer or tool. When that stone was ready, cleansed, it was quarried, it was shaped, it was cleansed and doubtless marked. And then when made ready, placed in its appointed place, or resting on the one foundation, he knoweth, he performeth, and this is our mercy, that when that work of grace is done, he'll take his children at last to be with him in glory. It may be in great age, as our dear friend along the road, it may be in a child. I remember my dear mother giving me a little some verses about a little mite in London, neglected by parents, a poor wee thing, dying in hospital, and ere she died, the thin, wasted arms were stretched forth, her countenance shining. Lord Jesus, I'm coming. I'm coming. It may be a child. He performeth. All is in the hands of our God. And he that gives grace will give glory. Amen.
By singing hymn number 4, we'll omit verse 6. The tune is Omnipotence number 200. Keep silence, all created things, and wake your maker's not. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Chained to his throne of volume 9, with all the face of him, with every angel's form and size, drawn by the eternal pen, his providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel show. Each opening leaf and every spot fulfills some deep design. Hymn number 4.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with you. Amen.